Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to PLB's second live debate session held live in the PLB studios. In tonight's debate, we discuss which property is the best choice for a couple, condo or land. Without further ado, let's welcome our presenters for tonight. In the blue corner, representing condominium, please welcome Omni Rome and Sean Kay. The yellow corner, representing landed properties, please welcome George, Hayes, and Kevin Chan! Last but not least, our moderator for tonight, co-founder and CEO of Property Lynn Brothers, put your hands together and welcome Melvin Lynn.
Once again, thank you for coming for our PRB live debate. We have close to about 40 of our live audience here with us today. Give our live audiences a round of applause for being here. As well as we have right now about 500 over of our webinar participants online with us. Live online, let's give our webinar participants a round of applause as well. Last but not least is our back-end media team for making this live debate happen. And of course, this is the second time we're doing live right here in PRB Ascent. Thank you for being here with us. And most importantly, today is Mid-Autumn Festival, the actual day. Thank you for spending your time here with us. Do we have some mooncakes? Adele, do we have some mooncakes here? So later, I think we'll bring down some mooncakes, let everybody enjoy a little bit. Okay. Of course, we also have to give our presenters a round of applause. They spent, I think, close to 2 weeks of sleepless night to prep their decks. Actually, 2 weeks or 2 days? 2 hours, oh my goodness. So confident. Okay, so let me introduce our presenters. So we have Sean. Let's give Sean a round of applause. We have Yurong. We have George. And we have Gavin. All four of them are our senior consultants. And in fact, they lead the team in terms of presentations as well, consultation when it comes to portfolio planning. So they're very well versed actually with most types of properties, whether is it residential or commercial. And just a context of our live debate is that this is, of course, for educational purposes. It doesn't really mean that this team hates landed property or this team hates condos. Basically, you love condo. Okay, fantastic. Yeah, so basically today they have to take a position that if they are defending landed, they have to take it wholeheartedly that landed is the best. If they are taking a condo position, they have to take it wholeheartedly that condo is the best, right? Let me give a brief of our debate context, because for every round of debate, we want to have an actual couple that we are talking about. Let's flash the profile, and then I'll bring you through the brief for today. So today, this will be our profile in terms of our property buyer or slash property investor. So husband and wife, they are both 40 years old. They have just sold off their 3-bedroom condominium for a great profit. And they are now in a dilemma because both of them are doing well in their salary. They are 40 years old, drawing 20,000 each. Both are working. And of course, now they are thinking, hey, should I go for a $5 million landed home? Or actually, should I go for a bigger version of maybe CCR condominium or huge condominium that's around 4 plus to 5? Or should I go for two condominiums instead to split up my investment under one name each. So they are currently in this dilemma. And the reason why we chose this is because a lot of our clients also have the same dilemma. So we thought that it would be pretty interesting to do a live debate. Now, 2 weeks back, if you have joined us, whether on webinar or live here, we did the BTO versus resale HDB, and we had a very interesting session. And of course, what is going to happen is that next year, Q1, we're going to have another two rounds of live debate. So do stay tuned with us. Now, for the context of today's debate, let me just share with everybody some of the ground rules. So we have tweaked the sequence a little bit differently. The first round, each team will get 10 minutes of opening statement. And subsequently, we'll go into two different segments. The first segment is to focus on appreciation of the particular type of property as well as exit strategy. Second segment, we are going to talk about lifestyle and intangible factors. And however, for the context of the content, appreciation, we have allocated 20 minutes. And for lifestyle, we allocated a shorter time frame. And of course, in between, there's going to be rebuttals as well. And if you have, of course, known PLB for a period of time, we are very into visuals. And thus, our debate also includes slides and content and presenters. You are free to draw on the screen as well. Okay? So, without further ado, let us kickstart. And of course, just to share with both teams. Okay, this time around, I like this table setup. I can be stuck in between both of you. Okay. So for the context of our time, we have to adhere to the timing that you can see on the screen there. Take note that when you hear one ding, it will be 3 minutes left. If you hear two dings, it is 2 minutes left. And of course, when the time is up, it'll be three dings, right? Multiple dings. Okay, great. And take note that when you are into rebuttal mode, sometimes you all might tease each other or ask questions, right? The other team is not allowed to answer. You can only speak when it's your turn to show up. Okay? Great. Any questions for either side?
No.
No questions. Okay, come. Then let us begin. And take note, today's result will be purely based on your poll. So all our audiences, whether you are live here or at home, you can choose and you have a say on which team do you think you want to support at the end of today's debate. So later we'll flash the QR code and you will be able to cast your vote. So the decision is yours, and depending on each site's presentation and content, you can then decide whether you think this strategy is better or that strategy is better. Okay, so without much further ado, let me invite Team Condo to kickstart first on their opening statement. And you have 10 minutes. And Team Condo will be represented by Yurong and Sean. And please take it away. Thank you.
All right. Thank you guys for coming. Okay, we're going to kickstart Team Condo, which is also the winning team. Okay, so my opening statement today, I'll be explaining why I have selected Team Condo. And a lot of people have also been asking me, actually, why did I start with Team Condo? Because number one is that Melvin told me to do so. That's why I'm here today to share with you guys very candidly. This is my honest reason. And I also have deep dive together with Yurong, right, on why condo is actually the better choice. And these are the two reasons that I'm going to dive in here today. Number one is our twin engine approach. Now, just now, you guys saw the chart, which is that at 5 million, two couples, we're going to show you some options that you can do for condominiums that's going to wow you. And of course, we're going to dive into some options and some choices, because especially when you buy your family home, you want there to be options, to be choices, whether you want to stay close to MRT stations, close to schools, we want to dive that into as well. So number one is that this twin engine approach, right, comes from the inspiration of aircrafts. Because aircrafts, you got two kinds, the single engine and the dual engine. Don't you feel safer if, let's say, you're flying on an engine, flying on an aircraft that has dual engine instead? And of course, we have also taken from the Bible's verse is that if one person falls, the other person can reach out and help them, up when they're in real trouble. That's right. So that's very important to have a buddy with you. Okay? Take notes, huh? Okay. Number one is that now we're going to draw on this chart to show you how this dual engine actually works. Okay? So number one, today our budget is at 5... Oh, press that wrong. What arrow, okay. Okay, so today we have a $5 million budget range, right? Now we can split the $5 million into two different properties. Number one is 2.5 mil and also a 2.5 mil that is down here, lah. Okay? So let's say, for example, this 2.5 mil I loan for the next 25 years, okay? And it doesn't appreciate. Let's say it doesn't appreciate, 2.5 mil, which is here. Take note that my down payment here is at 500K. Even if it doesn't appreciate by the end of this 25 years, right, I technically have already saved up $2 million. So this creates a sense of what we call a forced savings. Okay? But I'm working and I'm paying the mortgage. Doesn't sound very fun, right? If I, let's say I'm working and paying the mortgage and I still end up with the same property value. But if I get someone to actually rent my home for me, let's call this person Jack. Okay? So Jack is staying in my home and he's currently renting. So month by month, he's actually helping me to pay my mortgage all the way until. So this $2 million here, even if the property price doesn't appreciate, right, he technically helped me earn $2 million if the property price doesn't appreciate. Okay? So now come back to this approach. Now we're going to think a little bit more positively. If let's say at 25 years, we just have a very stable growth for my other property, which is at 2% growth per year, lah. So does anybody have a calculator? 2.5%, 2% growth, 25 years later. Can everybody take out their calculators and also count? Don't worry, lah. I won't let you guys do that, okay? I already prepped already, so I won't let you guys take out your calculators and count. So 2% at the end, it will be $3.5 million. Now take note, my down payment is also 500K for this home. So that means at the end of this exercise, I'm staying in this own place, right? At the end, what I'll end up with is actually a $3 million profit that is down here. Now take note, I've also earned from my rental, which is at $2 million. So this is my rental. Over here is my own stay. So at the end of the day, I'll get a $5 million back into my pocket. So this approach is very safe because I predicted all this in a very safe manner. So how can a $5 million lender, right, provide you with this kind of flexibility to invest? Even if one does not appreciate, you can still have a very safe value because you're using other people's money to actually work for you when you own two. Cool? Okay, now move on to the next slide. Options, yes. So, of course, we love options, lah. So we can take a look at these two slides over here. So Josh, take a look at the slides. So can you tell me, right, which one looks a bit more attractive for you? Oh yeah, he chose the left one, lah. He's a bit shy today. Okay, so of course, the left one has more options, especially when you're eating Thai fun. Nobody wants to only choose garnishes, right? So, okay. So for landed sites, right, now I filtered out on Property Guru. For a $5 million quantum, right, for a 4 and 5 bidder at freehold, you only have about 1,319 choices here for you. Okay? Now let's say, for example, I want to buy into a landed home that offers me a bit more moving condition, right? Because sometimes if I buy in $3 million, I still have to renovate. I have to spend my A&A cost in cash, and I don't want that. So, Fast forward a bit much. Okay, so these are the options in between the $4 and $5 million ranges for landed, and you only have 600. You only have 697 choices here for you only. For you to have a move-in condition like landed home. But for condominiums, the options are much more. Because you have about 4,000 over choices here for you. So that means, right, if let's say you have someone that's looking for a home and you want more options, then definitely you want something with views, right? Can a landed home give you this kind of views? Later we'll see. I'll see. Okay. Wow, very fierce. Okay, so of course, facilities is also very important because if you have kids, you want them to have facilities. You don't want to have a landed home and then having to go out to actually use these facilities. You can just head downstairs and get to enjoy them already. And connectivities as well is very important because we have, of course, integrated developments. Downstairs, it's already shopping centers. Then you have MRT stations as well. So only with integrated condominium developments, you can have more options, more choices, more convenience for you. So just a summary, the twin engine approach, just now I have just showed you guys, which that if I split this equity into two, I don't put all my eggs into one basket, it's also a very safe approach. And lastly, we have options and choices. When you buy a home, you're going to buy to stay. So I definitely want more options, more choices for my family so I can feel comfortable staying inside as well. And that will conclude my slides. Thank you.
Okay, so a quick poll to the audience as well as like the Zoom. Those are on Zoom, right? So actually, which of these property types do y'all find that there will be more price acceleration potential in the next 5 years? Landed, can raise your hand. One. So the rest is non-landed lah. I don't need to ask already, right? So it's condo. Just kidding. So condos, can raise your hand. Two. Then the rest is not sure. Actually, right, what makes a very good property investment strategy, right? It's actually the property that you do not stay inside. You do not stay inside. Because when you stay inside, who pays for your mortgage? Yourself, right? So you pay for the mortgage, you also pay for the interest. But when I put a tenant inside, we use other people's money, right? It's always the best thing. When someone is paying for your mortgage, they pay for interest, and you do not need to bank on a price appreciation in order to be profitable. So if we have $5 million, we want to be thinking how we can allocate these funds a little bit more smartly. Because interest takes away all the gain if it's your own state property. And of course, lastly, one question to the landed team is, of course, number one, if today we have fully allocated the $5 million into one property wise, what happens if we lose our job? So one of the things about having a profitable investment is that we can choose when we want to sell. Of course, pre-cooling measure, we have a lot of ups and downs in our property market. We don't want our hands to be forced. In order to let go right when the timing is not favorable. Of course, we don't have a crystal ball to decide in the future whether you know like it's going to have price acceleration. But the key thing is a seller always have a good finding as compared to a buyer to know whether currently is it a good market or not. Because you open the news, right? If a lot of good news in the market, a lot of people calling for listing, we know that it's actually a good market. And that is where you can decide that, oh, maybe it's a good time for me to sell. And that's why we want to make sure that we allocate our funds such that we have holding power. And so, in order to have holding power, right, one quick question before I wrap up my time here is, what is the percentage of your monthly income will you be comfortable to finance your property portfolio? Any participation? How many is comfortable with paying 50%? 50% of your income? 40%? 30, right? So if I just going to show you, right, $5 million, 75% loan, assuming today our profile will take a 25 years loan tenure, interest rate, we use 3%, even though right now fixed rate is about 3.1%, your monthly installment will work out to be $17,783. So that is 44% of income. So I'll let you to think whether that is considered right. A prudent move or not. Thank you,
Team Condo. Thank you very much. Very interesting opening, even with some speech and drama. Do you attend speech and drama last time, Sean?
We used to be from drama class, actually.
No wonder. Okay.
Yeah, I can tell.
Thankfully, we mopped our floor this morning. Okay. Let me welcome the next team, Team Landed. You have 10 minutes. Take it away. Let's give it a round of applause, all right?
Testing.
Thank you.
Okay, I think a very great opening statement by the condo team. Now, with the lender team, before we get into our own opening statement, right, maybe we just do a bit of summary on what the condo segment has just said. So this is what basically I have interpreted from the main summary of what they shared. So first thing, I think both of them also talked a lot about other people's money, utilizing other people's money. So basically the brief calculation was you invest $2.5 million, you don't pay $500,000 and the rest is fully paid by the tenant. I just did a calculation. I mean, that is representative of what happened in the past when interest rates were 1%, 2%. Is that going to be true if today's interest rate example last year hit to a high of 4.25%? I did a calculation right now. So basically, if let's say you rent out the place at maybe $6,000 to $7,000, the monthly mortgage is still going to be $10,000. So essentially, do you think that other people is fully paying for the entire sum of the property? Okay, so we move on to our opening statement. Because, I mean, for us, myself, George, the entire PLV team, we all love condos also. There's nothing wrong with condos. But of course, serving a lot of landed clients in the past as well, we also ask them, why do they still prefer to own landed properties? And usually it falls in two key success factors. One over here, appreciation potential, and second, lifestyle opportunities. So the entire crux of our debate today is going to be focused on these two pointers over here. So just remember, appreciation potential, lifestyle opportunities. So we move on. I'll help the condo teams add on a bit to their statement as well, why we all love condos.
Yep.
So the availability of options to suit various needs. So whatever you want, one bedroom,
five bedroom,
however your family size, there is always an option for you. You want north side, east side, west side, there are options for you. Entry price, fantastic as well. They meet the HDB upgrader segment, meaning that usually once you get a BTO or a resale HDB, you cash out after the MOP of 5 years. Usually you can smoothly enter into the private condo market. That is also going to be your exit strategy down the road. MCST maintenance, all taken care of by your MCST as well. Rental you, like what they said, right? Other people's money. Rental you, without a doubt, will definitely perform better on the condo side as opposed to the landed property side. And the last thing, I think this is George's favorite one, the facilities. He loves the facilities in his project that he's staying at.
So just now, I think Sean mentioned a very good point. You have the facilities. Your kids can go down and enjoy. And who wouldn't love a facilities? You get a pool over here, the kids will be knocked out at the end of the day once they whack all their energy at the pool. You have function room, you can host all the facilities and your events at a function room. The only thing is you have to cut by 10 p.m. You have gym, can keep in shape, and you can stay fit. The truth is, all these are not in a condo development. These are found in SAFRA. So the question is, why 20 over 1,000 transactions in the past 11 years are still buying into the landed property? Because you can easily have all these facilities right at a comfort within your home. You don't even need to step out. You can have playground as your kids is growing up. After that, once they grow up, you want to change it into a gym, you can change it into an outdoor gym. You want to have barbecue, you can have barbecue all within the comfort of your home. If you want to go for swimming, this was a landed property that we just sold recently. You can convert this into a swimming pool. You can go down in the middle of the night, no security guard is going to cut you off. You want to host your event, you can host it right at the rooftop. All these, you can do it at the comfort of your home. But what you want to answer the question is still why 20 over 1,000 transactions in the past 11 years are buying into a landed property. The answer is the demand and supply.
Yes, and we're going to answer that question through this, which is the basis of economics, demand versus supply. Any form of investment, you want to take a look at demand versus supply. So again, we did a bit of homework for the condos team, and we want to bring up basically this table shows who is allowed to buy what type of property. So Singaporeans, PR, foreigners, you'll see that condos, of course, stand out in the way that they qualify to buy by all categories of citizenship. This table is basically estimating, of course this is by MOM as well, estimating the future population makeup. And essentially by the year 2030, 6 to 7 years from now, our population will be made up by about 50% Singaporeans, 50% PRs, and foreigners. Of course, what these two tables is going to suggest is that there is going to be a drive up in terms of demand for the condo segment, because this is the only segment where the increase in the foreign buyer they can buy into. But a lot of times we also forget the flip side of that question, and that is the supply factor. Let's take a look at the supply factor. Okay, so this is the existing supply, 300 plus thousand, so about 20% that makes up the private condo market. 73,000, so about 5% makes up the landed market. HDB makes up the rest of the 75%. This is across the board, private property supply, condo plus landed, across the past 7 to 8 years. So this is 2014. There were a total of 332,000 in terms of your condo plus landed. Fast forward, last year, 2022, quarter four, 412,000. So there is a total 24% increase in supply for private properties. Next table, that is going to show the landed property supply. So over the past 10 years, you can see basically there has been no change at all. So this increase in the 80,000 numbers basically came from the condo segment, 24% increase. And if we pump that into a future number, you'll notice that basically the percentage of supply of the condo segment is going to be increased to meet with the demand of the condo segment. That has already been catered for with the supply. So when it comes to the landed properties, then you'll notice that there is a drop in terms of the supply. 1.3%, although it's a small number, down to 1%, it is a significant difference. It's 30% in terms of the difference over there. And that is enough to make a major change in the market. And I think the question that you want to ask yourself here, condos, definitely, based on just now the tables that we showed, demand is going to drive upwards. Supply, of course, will be done to catch up with that demand. For landed properties, in terms of the supply, that's coming downwards. But in terms of the demand, that's what we want to address later on. Is that the time? Wait, who ring the thing? Okay, so very quickly, the next question that you want to ask is, who are your holding partners in the asset that you're holding? Right. So if let's say today you buy into a condo, you are one in the 300 plus thousand owners of condominiums in Singapore. If you're a landed property owner, one in 73,000 shares. Basically, what it means is that down the road, 7 to 8 years later, when the supply for condominiums increase, that basically dilutes your share in the market. That's one. Secondly, is that because you need to understand who are the other shareholders together with your asset over here, because that is going to affect the future outcome and the value of your share. So we're just going to sum up, of course this is not the full script of it, but who is buying into condominiums? Basically, in the RCR, OCR region, HDB upgraders, first-time buyers into the market, foreign investors as well, who see strong value in Singapore's market, and then of course on the article on the left over here, you'll see this is the latest money laundering case that happened, right? Basically, about 80% came from private condos. So for landed properties, you only have two types of owners. One, of course, Singaporeans that are usually buying for their own stay. Second is those PRs who maybe have gotten special approval from the authorities due to their significant contributions to the economy. So now the question to ask is, which type of properties would you want to hold the asset, and which type of partners would you want to have holding your asset together with you?
So to also help to understand a little bit in terms of who will likely be the competition when you are buying into the nature of the property, of course you can buy into a condo, you can buy into landed. But something that might be out of our control would then be the government policies. Let's take a look at the government policies. Right now, most recently, announcement has been made for the HDBs. Right now, you have actually the plus as well as the prime housing. What that means is that your holding period will also be longer. And we do expect to have a little bit of drop in terms of the buyer demand that might potentially be coming from a HDB upgraders. And that might affect you if, let's say, you're kind of positioning yourself as a condo homeowner that is near to a HDB upgraders. That's the first. Second is, of course, the buyer stamp duty, ABSD, have actually increased from 30 to 60% for the foreigners, which also means that the foreigners that are holding on to the properties right now, when they know that if they sell, they need to buy in at 60% more, do you think that they will sell right now, knowing that they have already bought in at an earlier stage? The answer is no. So you're going to have a lot of resistance from the foreigners, which also means that your buyer's pool also shrink. So with that, we also want to talk about the kind of value creation that a landed property can have. Time's up, and we'll continue more later. And I just want to end with this before I hand over to the condo segment.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thanks, George and Gavin. Okay. So before we move into the next round, which is round one, that is focusing on appreciation of value as well as your exit strategy for whether you go for two condominiums, one huge condo, or you go for one landed property. Each team is going to have 20 minutes each, followed by 5 minutes of rebuttal. And let me just do a quick recap for both teams while they prep for the next round. So Team Condo, they started off, of course, with a performance, and of course, they focus a lot on this concept called twin engine, meaning not to put all their eggs in one basket. And of course, they also shared some intangible benefits of owning condominiums. The very fact that if you stay in one and you rent out one, somebody's going to pay for your interest. And of course, lumping all your eggs into one basket has a high monthly mortgage. Team Landed started off with, of course, talking about the fact that facilities might not be an issue, because if you want to do up your place, your landed property, you have a lot of flexibility. They went into demand and supply factors, talking about landed supply versus condo supply, and also future supply. They then went into the latest round of National Day rally, talking about the latest HDB policies that might affect condo upgraders from the HDB market in future. And they ended off, of course, with the latest ABSD policy. So that pretty much sums up their opening statement. And to kickstart, and also a quick reminder is that later we'll be opening up the floor to our audiences at home. So please feel free to key into the chat box on any questions that you might have for both teams, because later we'll be selecting some questions to ask Team Condo or Team Landed. Also, if you are here with us live, you can also put up your hands to ask questions. We will pass the mic around later on. And also, last but not least, is that later we will also be flashing the QR code for your final vote. So let me welcome Team Condo to kickstart the opening. And kindly take note that we will be focusing on appreciation and exit strategy. Let's welcome Yurong and Sean. Give them a round of applause.
No wonder the mic is missing. Okay. So appreciation value as well as exit strategy. And of course, if we were to look at past performance last 3 years, which sector actually performed slightly better? So a lot of times I will help the landed team say they will tell you that the last 3 years landed actually outperformed your condos and apartments. As you can see from this chart where I broken it down into 2020, 2021, 2022, their respective performances, you can see that every single year, except for 2020, landed homes outperform non-landed homes in terms of their appreciation value. So of course, this is what we call on the surface kind of research. Right? If we look deeper, because we have so many condos spread out in the entire part of Singapore, we actually split condos into three different market segments. We call them core central, which is your River Valley, Orchard, Bukit Timah kind of zoning. We have your rest of central area, which is basically where your Queenstown, Bishan, Marine Parade, they're going to be at. And of course, we have the outside central region, which take up most of your condo supply, and they are all at your Choa Chu Kang, Woodlands, Pasir Ris, Punggol, etc. And if you were to break it down, you realize that in terms of performance-wise, core central region for the last 3 years have been, taking a break, lah. Right, so you can see that in terms of performance-wise, they're taking a break. But you can see that if we just focus on the rest of central region, if we were to vis-a-vis compare with landed performance in the same year, you can tell that almost every single year, rest of central region is on par, if not slightly better than landed homes. And of course, at the outside central region, their performance is also not too bad. But if I were to just sum it up, this is the numbers that we're going to get. Landed homes, 34.6% last 3 years. Non-landed core central, 9.2%. Non-landed rest of central region, which is your city fringe kind of condos, is at 36%. So it's quite on par with landed homes. Non-landed OCR, 26.5%. So not too bad overall. Right. So the key thing is about, because we have choices, at $2.5 million, you're able to allocate and identify the correct condo market segment to enter, because all in all, it's always about condo selection. We've done a study. Over the last 3 years of bull run, 2,330 projects in Singapore, and we realized that not all condos actually outperform the benchmark increase. And so we all know instinctively that we need to park our money in good properties. So that's where you can actually have more price acceleration. Okay, so next, of course, I just want to showcase a bit of like profit margin in terms of some of the projects. For example, this is one of the condos, 600 plus thousand, 500 plus thousand profit margin in 3 years' time. We also have, this is in OCR area, you have profit up to $1 million, but of course with a slightly longer holding period, 6 to 7 years. And we have, sometimes if you hold it for like 15, 20 years, you can potentially achieve 1.2 million and above kind of result. This is from condo performance. So the key question now is, if Later, lender team is going to tell and say that landed homes are going to have more price acceleration. Is will non-landed properties like condos and apartments catch up in pricing in the next 3 years? So we have this chart with a lot of lines. Let's just focus on the dotted lines in this chart. So of course, red color line, the dotted line, represents landed price index performance. The dark blue color dotted line represent your non-landed landed price performance. And lastly, your green color dotted line represents your HDB performance. And what I want to show you is probably later the landed team will probably tell you maybe in 2009, there is what we call like a chasm gap where the landed property suddenly run up in pricing. And that's the first time we sort of see landed prices outperform non-landed in terms of price acceleration. You can see this gap opening up. So the key question is to answer is, in the next 3 to 5 years, if you were to kick off a landed property now or a condo now, would this gap of landed property actually run up significantly higher? Or will actually condos start to catch up and close this gap? Right? Because if we are a condo, if we close this gap, means that we're going to have more margin in the next 3 to 5 years. So let's take a look a little bit on my beautiful handwriting that I've drawn over here. You can see that if you were to just compare price index value in 2012, where you take my slide, 2012 quarter four, you can see that the price index in terms of numerical difference, 32.2. So this is one of the biggest gap created. And you can see that it shrank during about the 2018 count area, it shrank to the smallest gap of 14.2. And lo and behold, the last year, the last quarter, 2023 quarter two, can you see that this number that I wrote over here, a lot of people tell me they cannot read my handwriting, so I'm going to read it out for you. 45.5. It is the biggest gap in the entire history of landed versus non-landed. So if you're going to put your money in the next 3 years, are you going to blindly be bullish and think that landed properties is just going to continue to carry on this baton, accelerate at the same speed? Or maybe there is a better chance for non-landed properties like condo and apartments to actually connect this leg up. So just now, I was also very happy that George mentioned about Plus Prime projects. That is a very, very good mention because it's part of my argument also. You can see that same thing. We want to see the gap between HDB pricing as well as condo pricing. And you can see that one of the biggest gap previously was 14, was over here. In about 2019, you can see that this is the condo portion, this is the HDB portion. And you can see over the last 3 years, HDB pricing has worked very hard, accelerated very fast, and closed this gap. So you can see condo now is being sandwiched. HDB is catching up so fast in terms of price index so close to your condos, and landed has accelerated so fast already. So like, I don't know if you all remember the fable of rabbit and tortoise. So sometimes when you run too fast, right, then sometimes they take a break. Then it's maybe an opportunity for something that is slow and steady to catch up. So prime and plus properties over here, quick recap, basically next year, quarter two, 2024, the government is going to start launching a new series of BTO, and they're going to classify them as standard flats, prime flats, and plus flats. Prime flats and plus flats, they will all happen in your central region. So anything that is within your central region, your Queenstown, Marine Parade, Bishan, Tiong Bahru, and all that, will definitely be at least a plus flat. So what it means is, what's the difference between your standard or current BTO system is? Few things. Number one, these people who buy plus and prime BTO flats, they're going to have a longer MOP period, 10 years. After waiting for 5 to 6 years of construction, they have a limited buyer pool that they can sell these plus and prime flats to, because we actually control private property owners. They cannot buy if they have disposed within 30 months. You have an income limit of 14K before you can buy this in the resale market. But these are all going to happen in 15 years' time. But the key thing is, over here, what it means is if today you want to stay in the central location HDB, will you want to go for these plus and prime flats and get stuck 15 years? You won't, right? But you still want that location, because actually these flats, even if you finish the MOP, you want to sell, there will be a clawback in terms of however capital appreciation earned, there will be a percentage that needs to be clawed back to the government. You cannot keep and say, I want to rent out that property. So what happens is, if you want to stay in a central HDB location, you will go and buy a resale HDB now. Am I right? So what happens? I think that resale HDB in the central region, the demand is going to increase. Price acceleration is going to increase for resale HDB. And why am I talking about resale HDB? Is because when HDB increase in pricing,
Then these HDB owners gonna have more equity, right? And then they'll start to think, hey, I made some money, I'm gonna upgrade. So one thing you can see, if you remember correctly, HDB resale hasn't made any money if you bought in 2013, which was the last peak. And if you have held all the way until 2019, it was almost like a 12% drop in your pricing. And because COVID saved everybody, because of construction delays, the demand spill from BTO to resale properties have a bull run over the last 3 years. And because of this prime and plus, right, it's likely that certain pockets in the central region is going to have an additional booster. And in this chart, I'm going to show you is BTO flats. These are BTO flat supplies. We introduced BTO in 2001. 2001, we introduced BTO flats. And you can see that the main spike was in 2010, where it was the first time the government released more than 15,000 BTO flats in 1 year. And of course, in 2022, 2023, we released a total of 22,000, almost 23,000 BTO flats. But what's the key thing is, just think about it, whichever year that BTO was being released, you add 8 to 9 years. These flats were MOP. So for example, why did we start to have price acceleration that is quite close in 2019 for HDB flats? Because all these BTO flats, right, they are the newest that will hit the supply, and people, Singaporeans, love new things because they are scared that if I buy a 2-0 flat, you know, I might outlive the property. I want something that is newer, the facade is nicer, so they buy newer things. And so they will hit a record price in that certain location. So what it means over here is, for the next 10, 15 years, actually every single year you're going to expect probably on the average 18,000 of flats that's going to MOP. But what's the difference between BTO flats and MOP? Two things. Usually, BTO flats, 95% reserved for first-timer. So usually, when they MOP, I would say that they are still relatively young, 35 years old, average. Also, they probably will have made a very good capital appreciation. Usually, if they buy a 300K flat, they will sell 600K. It's almost double, but of course, their holding period is close to 10 over years. Right? So, key idea here, summary-wise, is when BTO people make money, when resale people make money, which one is easier to upgrade to? Condos? Or is it landed? I'm sure that more people would actually funnel towards the condo, and that's where Sean and I agree that HDB policies is going to propel condo prices to catch up to landed in the next 3 to 4 years in terms of percentage, not the price value. Okay. But what makes property investing exciting, right? Okay, so what makes property investing exciting is this thing. If today I have a $1 million property, and a lot of times people tell me that real estate investing is not very exciting because they only make 3% market based with inflation only, right? So if I make 3% of a $1 million property, that's only $30,000, 3%. But a lot of times people forget that the beauty of property investing is that we are able to leverage. So assuming over here, I take a 75% loan, my down payment is only 25%, which is 250K. Okay? And I'm basically using 250K to help me gain these $30,000. And if I were to divide these two numbers, it's actually equivalent to 12%. So if you can take it very simply, that if I were to leverage to the max amount, whatever the property price appreciate, I will get 4 times in value in terms of my equity. Okay, so that's one thing that I love about property investing. Of course, I think sometimes the audience or the landed team might have some questions in your head. Like, hey, I take loan means I have interest, right? Then it won't be 12%. So that is the reason why we want to conclude that actually want to ask you this question. Which kind of property portfolio is going to give you more net gain? We don't care about gross gain, capital appreciation that is on paper. We want to see what is the amount that you can actually pocket. Is it one landed or is it 2 condos? So let's take a look. If today we start off with a $5 million landed property, a lot of numbers, but I'll just focus on a few things. $5 million landed property. And let's assume that the capital appreciation, everything just keep pace with inflation, 3%. Over 5 years, that's 15% gain. Hence, the appreciation is 750,000. Okay? Of course, this unit is not being rented out. There will be no rental that's being collected. We have some costing when we buy this property, like buyer's stamp duty, but that's not where I'm going to focus on. Let's focus on this thing called interest, because I take a bank loan, 75%. 3% interest, 25 years. What's my total interest that I've accumulated in 5 years of holding this landed property? $523,000. $523,000. Property tax, all these small sums. And let's assume that this $5 million house is a beautiful move-in condition with your playground, gym, a barbecue pit, everything. All built in for you, the last owner built for you already. Don't need to spend any renovation costs. And what is your net gain after 5 years? I take appreciation, take off my buyer stamp duty, interest, of course some miscellaneous like legal fee, property tax. Your net gain is a negative $23,000. But what if we split the holding into two condos? So same thing. Condo one is for stay. Condo one is for stay. Condo two is for investment. And you can see one difference over here is because now I have this twin engine where I'm going to able to collect rental at 3.5% yield. And let's assume that every single year I will need to switch tenant. Every time I switch a tenant, I will have a 1 month vacancy period. So of these 6 years, 60 months, I only rented this home out of 55 months. So I will collect $401,000 of rental. And so because of this difference of having an engine where I don't stay in, the tenant is basically subsidizing my entire interest cost of $261,000. And of course, I actually pay a higher maintenance fee. So I pay a higher property tax because this is a non-owned state property. And I still account for maintenance fee that I pay at $400 a month. Just not landed, I assume no landed. How can it be? Got pest control, right? Got landscaping, need to maintain pool, maintain lift. And I also pay an agent commission to rent out the property. You can see that the condo 2 that is being rented out will give me a net gain of $358,000. I might have a negative gain of $11,000 for the one that I stay in, but overall, I still profit $347,000. Okay, so if I were to put two things side by side, you just need to remember, Sean and my plan, 347. Landed plan, negative 23. And of course, maybe we can say that, okay, landed because of the supply, so low, right? Cannot increase anymore. Let's give them an advantage of 4% price acceleration per year versus 3% over on the condo side. You can see that the numbers in terms of the condo side still outperform. So I think here is how we conclude that actually two condos are better than having one landed.
Thank you so much. Right, now we'll move on to talking also about exit strategy. So of course, most importantly is that when we want to enjoy the capital appreciation that you just saw on the board, right, we definitely want to be able to find someone that can afford and also want to afford your own home. So let's have a look at some of the supplies breakdown that they have just shown earlier, which is that for condominium sites, we have about 300 plus supplies, and for landeds, we have only about 73,000. Now remember these numbers because we're going to dive into it and why does it mean so important to us. Okay, so this is also the projection graph that you guys have saw earlier. And take note that for 50% of your future buyer pools, there's going to be Singaporeans and 50% is going to be foreigners as well. So 2023, this is your buyer pool profile. And of course, these slides you have seen before, these are all four yeses for condos. So Singaporeans, PR and foreigners, they all can invest on condos. Now for landed homes, it is only limited to Singaporeans. So what does this mean is that in the future, is that your buyer pools will then restricted down to about 50%. Of course, I know what you guys might be thinking is that, hey, foreigners currently right now, they have about a 60% ABSD rate. Won't they not want to buy a condominium instead? Won't they look for somewhere to invest? Now 60% is actually the highest ABSD rate that's currently in the whole nationwide, higher than even Hong Kong. So I'll leave this question to you, is that whether or not when in the future when 50% of our buyer pool is foreigners, right, will there be a chance where the ABSD rate will increase or will it then decrease? Okay, I'll leave it to you. So of course, condos also give an international audience where there's uncertainty in all the areas around the world, right? They always look for Singapore as a safe haven to invest in. And of course, these slides over here, we just zoom in to the details, which is that at the end of the day,
when you're buying into condos, when you can still sell the PRs, our PRs purchasing are still increasing in percentages. From all the way from 2017, it was at 13%. It is still increased to 17%. So don't forget the PRs you can still target, especially when you're selling condominiums. And of course, not to mention that the PR status rates, the ABSD has still maintained at 5%. And you also have your free trade agreement, which is that you get buyer pools from United States, Iceland, Liechtenstein, Norway, as well as Switzerland. And we have also seen increase in terms of buyer pool demands for foreigners. That means in the future, you can also target your Americans that might be coming in to buy properties in Singapore, especially where there's uncertainties around the world. Okay, so this is the percentage-wise in terms of the transactions. So non-landed sites, there's about 9,000. There's also about a total of 483 landed homes that has been transacted already for this year, lah. Okay? So the most important part is that we're going to zone into here, which is that the numbers that I showed you guys earlier, because they mentioned to us that the supply is actually limited, so the price will actually grow. But actually, when we look back at the numbers, right, and we look at the number of transactions plus the supply, we can actually see that condominiums still perform at about 2.6% according to the supply, but landed sites transactions seems to be a bit weaker at 483, with only 73 landed supplies, but this transaction is only at 0.66%. So this goes to show that actually, even though the supply is low, but the demand seems to be even lower as well. So this is also, we need to know that in the future when we choose to sell to buyer pools, we also need to know that if you were to buy a $5 million home, your income ratio would have to be about 40,000, which would then target to the top percentile of people over here. So just to take note that for landed sites, you are really targeting at the top or tier.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Team Condo. Alright, so now we move on to Team Landed for the next 20 minutes. Just to know that Team Landed, after this, straight on will be your 5 minutes rebuttal. Alright, let's put our hands together and welcome Team Landed on round one, appreciation of value and exit strategy for landed homes. Why not
loaded? Okay, so round one, we are going to talk about...
Right, let's start the clock.
Round one, we're going to talk a lot about numbers, so appreciation of value, exit strategy. Based on what the condo team has shared, what I deduce is that a lot of the charts and graphs that they're directing it towards is a lot more towards backward-looking kind of direction. So they're looking a lot on past performance and things like that. But of course, something that we want to take moving forward also, being in this state that where there are a lot of question marks in terms of our real estate journey, is what could happen in future. So I'm going to do quite a bit of crazy numbers over here, right? Of course, this could or could not become possibilities in future, but I think that I'll leave that up to you guys to think whether that could become a possibility. So the first question that I want to ask, and I'll direct this towards the condos team also, is do you think it is possible for condos to 4x value within the next 10 to 20 years?
Yes.
But based on what you shared earlier on, you shared that the overall growth for condo segment was 2.6% based on your last slide that you shared. So 4x, if it's possible, that means you're saying that 2x is also possible. So let's take a look at this. Okay, so this is a very good case study, but this case study is en bloc of a landed property. So of course you're going to ask, okay, this happens only to en bloc, it may not happen to me also. But let's take this case still for example. So Continuum was developed on this stretch along Thiam Siew Avenue. So there were a total of 25 houses over here that was en bloc. There's still 5 other houses, 2A over here, and 4 more terrace houses over here. But essentially, $850 million was the sale price, 264,000 square feet of land, 25 houses that was en bloc. So when you divide it by 25 houses and the plot size, that is roughly about 3,100 per square foot that it was en bloc at. For most of these are pre-war houses built in the 1940s. So, like I said just now, 2A was the separate caveat. We don't know who is the owner of the current property right now. It could be eventually joined together with the Continuum in future. We don't know about that. But essentially, there were two caveats along Thiam Siew Avenue. One, 2006 for 2A at 2.3 million. And when it approached 2022 last year, it sold for 19 million. So 8.3x in the space of 16 years. So early on, just now, when they shared the chart in terms of condos growing at, I don't know what, 0.066% or something like that, I think maybe that is representative of just a very short span of time, 1 or 2 years, but in the overall span of things, let's look at the larger picture. This is a possibility that happened for this plot of land, right? So you might also say, that was 16 years ago. Today, we cannot 8x anymore. Because essentially what it means is that 8x, if let's say today, you buy a landed plot, this is a realistic number, okay? So $5 million, maybe a semi-D, you buy for a 3,000 square feet plot of land. 8x, what does that bring us to? George, can you help me to answer that? How to change the color on this one? Don't need change color, that's not very nice. Okay. 8x equals to 40 million on 3,000 square feet plot of land. What is that? That is roughly about 13,000 per square foot. Crazy number, right? Crazy number to sell at. But now let's take a look at whether it is even possible in the first place. Right, so 13,000 per square foot, let's take continuum for example, of a land size times 264,000 square feet of land. What does that bring us to? 3.4 billion. This means that the developer has to fork out $3.4 billion for this plot of land if everybody there wants to make 8x what they buy at today. So, that means, let's give it a 40% markup for construction costs and things like that, marketing costs and everything. That brings us to $4.8 billion. This means that they need to sell the properties there for a total of $4.8 billion. So, the next thing that we want to calculate is how much can build on this $4.8 billion. So, 264,000 square feet. Times, let's say a plot ratio of 3.2, because right around the area, the high rise are going 2.8 to 3.5. So let's put 3.2 as a plot ratio, for example. Okay, so that brings us to 800. George, how much is that? 844,000 on your GFA. Let's say per unit is about 900 square feet, average unit size. That means there's a total of 938 units. So we take these two numbers and see. Means that each unit, you need to sell, the developers need to sell at, what's this, 5.11 million. That brings your PSF to be 5,600 per square foot. This is just nice times two of the current prices ongoing at continuum. So this means that if, let's say, the acceptable condo prices just needs to go up by times two, then this could potentially be a possible scenario for a similar case. Okay? So then the next thing that you will ask, maybe the condo teams will ask in their rebuttal, is if it's an en bloc, condo also can en bloc. Condo also will what, right? So this is my favorite stretch along the East Coast side. This is Mayer Road. How many of y'all love Mayer Road? Very private area, huge plot of land, huge units over there, right? Help me to select which one has the biggest land plot over here. Sean, which one is the biggest land plot over here? Okay, he's dragging time. I got no time. So, Makina is the biggest plot over here. So Makina is the biggest plot over here. Average unit size 1,006 to 1,007 for the bigger units, 1,002 for the smaller units. So average maybe about 1,004 square feet as the unit size, and the average transacting prices maybe 2.5 mil for something like that at about 1,007 to 1,008 per square foot. So now let's do a projection. Let's do the projection. We're going to do it very quickly because I need to leave a bit of time for George also. Oh, what happened? Okay, we're just going to do the calculation over here. So let's say you buy 2.5 mil for a 1,400 square feet unit. Right, so 8x value, that will bring us to $20 million. So you need to sell at $20 million to see the 8x. $20 million, that means for the 504 units over there, a developer needs to buy the land, $10.08 billion. Mark up 40% for their construction and marketing costs, profit margin and things like that. That brings us to $14.1 billion. $14.1 billion. Now let's take a look at the land size. Okay, so it's a 365,000 plot of land times, again, 3.2 plot ratio for better comparison. That is 1.17 million on your GFA. Let's take that divide by 900 square feet average unit. That brings us to 1,300 units. So if we take that cost that they need to sell at 14.1 billion divided by the 13,000 unit, each unit needs to go at, what's the number? 10.8 million. Correct. I think I heard someone say that. $10.8 million. So we take that $10.8 million PSF per 900 square feet unit. That means that the PSF will be 12,000 per square foot. This is more than four times the number that is going at Continuum. So if you were to ask me what is possible to 8x over here, as long as condos go up by two times, landed will be possible to go up by eight times. But condos will need to go up four times for an en bloc to see eight times in value. So now I'll hand the time over to George.
Thanks, Kevin. It's a mess, but okay. Please pause the time for me. So just now, Gavin mentioned about the fact that you can potentially multiply and how difficult is it to multiply if you want to kind of reach that kind of figures. And I think that is to basically just showcase the difficulty in the fact that you can... I should stop talking, to be fair. But anyway, I'm not presenting, so... Okay, so now it's my turn. I think for all of you that are sitting here, ideally you definitely will be thinking, if I buy into this property right now, is there a chance that I can at least 1.5x or 2x? So just now, early on, Sean mentioned that it is possible to 4x, say, in maybe about 10 odd years' time. What I want to show you is, if you can 2x your property portfolio, would you want to 2x your property portfolio? Would you want to 2x your property portfolio, Ruben? Yes. Oh, can Tabby say yes? I'm going to give you one example, and I'm going to just scribble. So I just need you all to follow. For this case study, we are talking about husband and wife earning about 20K each, 45 years. Fast forward, right, maybe they progress well in their career, they'll have their career progression. They mentioned that 5 million is going to be very taxing on your interest. Fair enough. We buy a property that is at 4 million. Today, you can still find something at 4 million. I just recently transacted one unit, landed 2,300 square feet at $4 million. $4 million is probably two stories with four bedrooms. You might need to spend some money in terms of your A&A to increase. So you pump in at about close to $800,000. You change your property by adding one more level to become a three-story, six-bedroom with a lift. and $800,000 is a definite doable figure. Your property value from $4 million would then increase to say about at $5 million because that is also the kind of price range that you can find in today's context. At $4 million, when you take about 75% loan, your loan will then reduce to about $3 million once you service the loan. Now, you're going to fast forward to 2026. When your career increase, maybe you're a high flyer, you will then go up to about 25K each. This 25K also means that you qualify for a loan amount of $2.52 million. Okay? Now, what's going to happen is maybe you buy with 50 and 50% share and you want to start with the process of decoupling. When you decouple, that's when the magic will happen. When you decouple, let's say we apply a 5% per annum growth because that is the average per annum growth rate for a landed property in the past few years. This will bring your property value to be at about $5.75 million by the year of 2026. At $5.76 million, your outstanding loan, come to this stage at 2026, right? Your outstanding loan will then be at about $2.75 million. But because you're holding 50-50, one party sell the shares. So let's say Gavin sell the shares to me. I'll be able to exit with about $1.5 million of cash. This will be the liquid cash that I can bring forward. But at the same time, my outstanding loan will also increase to $3.5 million. Right now, you'll be thinking, and they might be thinking, my ability to loan is at $2.5 million. I need to borrow $3.5 million. I might need to stretch it. So I will use this $1.5 million to pledge so that I can increase my loan amount. Once I do that, I will continue to service the loan because I would have already pledged the amount to increase my loan. With the surplus of cash, plus my outstanding, plus my ability to loan about $2.5 million, I can have the ability to buy something at about $3.2 to about $3.3 million by the year 2026. The answer is, can you find something of this value? I think you can still find. Right now, you can still find something at close to about a low $3 million, probably in the far corner, or those land plots that are slightly smaller. Early on, they mentioned about the fact that you have potential growth, you can put it out for rental. The beauty about landed is you can go for value creation. What do I mean by that is, when we talk about landed segment, the rental yield will definitely be the worst, guaranteed. But when you buy at this property, it's probably a single story. You don't need to do anything. You can just put it out for rental. The rental will probably just cover a little bit. You can maybe just rent it out to six packs, foreign workers. Hold on to that land and wait for the redevelopment over at that stretch to happen. This is actually a phenomenon that is happening right along Seraya Crescent. Back in a few years ago, when the buyers are selling the property, you can still find properties that is about $2.1 million. The fact is, you can find very little of such property also means that you might want to start to take action. If you can find a property that is about $3.2 million plus your value that is about $5.75 million, this will bring your entire property portfolio to be at about $8.9 million, and you can probably just hold on to it. When we talk about exit strategy, the exit strategy also means that you quickly buy into a landed property right now, and when we exit, you exit by decoupling and buy into another property. What I want to show you is next. When we talk about value creation and stuff like that, this was Center Road, 2020, the current owner bought at about 3.203. Right now, we are marketing at $4.5 million. And of course, we are looking at about the gross gain of $1 million. This has yet to be transacted, but receiving very strong interest. When we talk about value creation, what do I mean by that? We are not subjected to any form of like cooling measures and stuff like that at this current moment. This young boy that you see right here in the video, he's growing younger by the day. It's Melvin. Taman Selamat, 3 years ago, we sold this landed property at 1,800 over square feet, $2.695 million. Back then, it was a record price, 1,458 PSF. The current owners did not do anything. Right now, the area that is transacted is averaging at about 1,900 PSF. You are looking at about paper gain of $800,000. What you can potentially do is, when we talk about value creation, you can basically increase the number of levels. You can do A&A, you can go into rebuilding. The beauty about this in today's context, when we are talking about property, when we are talking about currency, name is the new currency. A lot of people have the cash, but they do not have the names to go and buy into property. That is why they are exploring into commercial, they are looking into industrial property. When you buy this, you have a lot of benefits. One of the benefits is multi-gen living. Of course, the benefits is if you quarrel, you have another place to move to, and you do not need to see another people until you start to simmer down. When you buy into this property, it frees up the name, and you can, of course, use the other name once you decouple. And then, when you decouple, always remember that you are buying into the price today, you are still holding on to the property, you do not need to sell, and then you can start to buy into the next property by extracting value if you are going into the route of value creation. Back in the early days, before the price start to skyrocket, you can buy into this huge land plot, you can subdivide, hold on to the property, subdivide, split it out to your kids or for legacy planning. This is something that you cannot do in terms of a condo development. Because condo development, what you are relying on is the neighbors below. Hopefully they sell at a good price. And hopefully they are not some going into distress mode and they need to sell at a low price, and then that will lodge into your valuation. You can say that I can have a neighbor that is selling at a low price. That is possible. But what you can do is, you can always go into the A&A route to increase the value. When you talk about landed property, you can increase the value by adding the additional bedrooms. You can increase from 4 bedrooms to 6 bedrooms so that you can increase the number of buyers that are buying into your property. And of course, when you talk about the amalgamation or subdivision, you can have the flexibility to do so. And just now what Yiron mentioned, spot on, maybe you saw our slides, the chasm gap, so we'll not touch too much on that. And I think what we want to also share is the involvement of the ABSD routes. This has also been touched on a lot of times. And when we talk about landed properties, they are largely owned by Singaporeans, which also means that lesser speculation, largely are for own stay, and most of the time, the landed homeowners, why do you see that there's lesser transaction? It's also because a lot of landed homeowners, they do not want to sell, knowing that the landed property is so precious right now. And that is true. When we sold one landed over at DDUB, the neighbors right beside, they do not want to sell because their simple reply is when they sell, can they find another landed property that's of the similar size? Inter Terrace 2003 is a rare gem. That's a rare Pokemon. So True Blue Assets shines when there is no foreign money intervention. And I think with that, we would like to end off our round.
Thank you, George and Gavin. Maybe let's give Team Landed 30 seconds to prep for their rebuttal. Meantime, maybe we can have our team to flash the QR code for questions as well, so that our audiences, they have a bit of time to think about some questions they want to ask the team later, whether is it questions on the numbers, the analysis, the strategy for selling after 3 or 5 years, or whether you have any questions about some of the numbers that was being flashed on the screen just now. In terms of the portfolio progression by both Team Lender and Team Condo. So we will go into the rebuttal round right now, 5 minutes for each team. We'll start with Team Lender and then Team Condo before we head on to round two. Round two will be a shorter round once again. It's 10 minutes each team followed by rebuttal. And then last but not least, we have a 15 minutes audience Q&A. All right. So without further ado, Team Lender, are you ready? Rebuttal. Yes. All right, great. 5 minutes, take it away.
Okay, now we're going to start our rebuttal. Where's the pen at? Okay, so early on just now, I caught a glimpse of the condo team slide. Basically, the entire table of what they wrote was essentially if you buy two condos, 2.5 mil each, your net home after 5 years is 347,000, even with rental yield. So we take 347,000 on the 5 mil, how much is that percentage? 6.9%. 5 years. Divide by 5 years. Straight up, that is about 1.2 to 1.3%. Now, who here wants to put in $5 million and earn 1.2 or 1.3% in terms of your capital gains? So I think that's the first argument over here. So obviously, over the past 3 years, that has shown not possible because the actual rate for condos that have rise is about 12 to 13% minimally because of COVID and the rise of and the appreciation of properties overall, and even more for landed properties. Just now George talked about buying at Taman Selamat 2.7 million. Today there was transactions at what, 3.8 million. So how much is that in terms of your appreciation? This is, I don't know how much, this is 25 to 30% already. So I think this is the main thing that I probably would like to hear a bit more from the condos team in terms of how they address this significant change in the past 2 to 3 years when their calculations show it's 1.2 to 1.3%. I think that's about it from my side. George, anything from you? All good? Okay, so I think that's about it for our rebuttal.
That's all? Still got 3 minutes.
Can transfer to the next segment.
Cannot. Do you want to utilize your full 5 minutes on rebuttal?
I think that's enough from our side.
Okay, great. Okay. Then let's move on to Team Condo. Thank you. Give a round of applause to Team Lender for their rebuttal. All right, Team Condo, 5 minutes, take it away.
Okay. Thank you, Team Landed. Using a lot of numbers, you know, like when there's too much numbers, it's very easy to get confused, right? So number one over here, of course, we talk about condo selection. Quick one, this one is the least of the evil, like, of all the things that was being mentioned. So over here, if we always look at, just now I use 3%. 3% is what we say very conservative in terms of condo price performance. A lot of times when we identify good accelerating properties, we are getting 6% annualized gain compounded. And just now I used 3%, it's all on simple interest, meaning 3 times 5, 15 years are not compounded. So good condo, 6 to 7% annualized gain compounded. And that is the reason why, of course, you know, like it's going to give you much more returns than what I mentioned. Just now, I'm just using a vis-a-vis portion where at the same price acceleration, at the moment, right, if you do not have a twin engine, who is covering your interest for you? The key idea here is, if you are going to cover the interest yourself, you must make sure that you're holding power. Can you help me to share my slide? Just now, Mr. Gavin mentioned about Continuum. Right? Chrome. Landed properties, there are two types of landed properties. If we go to URA space, they tell you whether this landed property is on what we call a landed zoning or non-landed zoning. So this is the Rangoon Garden, so all the landed property homes over there are under landed zoning. Here is Kovan area, non-landed zoning. So what it means? When you're in a landed zoning, you can never tear down this landed to become a condo. And they restrict you to tell you whether is it going to be a maximum 3-story or 2-story. In a non-landed zoning, you are able to combine a few landed properties and become a cluster housing. You can also build it to become like a condo. But usually the standard plot ratio that is given is 1.4. What does 1.4 mean? 1.4 means capped at 5 stories high. So that's why you go to any landed zoning, Telok Kurau, non-protected Kovan, non-protected landed zoning. You will see that if any condos are going to be there, it's usually 5 stories. Sometimes, because of how they space the condo, you can get up to 6 stories. Tiam Siu is a very interesting plot because Continuum is 18 stories high. And Tiam Siu, do you know that over there, right, they unblocked 20 overlanded homes, and do you know the road in between, right, is called Tiam Siu Avenue because this is a legacy land. The hotelier, which is Mr. Wee, owned the road. No, he don't own the road, but he named the road after him. The 20 over homes, right, is under sort of like a trust investment holding company, and that's the reason why they are able to do the combination and blocked it and to become a high-rise condo of 18 stories. Can you imagine you own a 3,000 square feet land? Do you have enough soil, right, to build foundation that can hold a 17-story high building? I will be very scared to stay in such a building. So I think that argument, I think, don't really make too much sense. We go back to the slides again. So we talk about the 8x concept, not possible. What we want, right, is that we tell you what is your downside, the most conservative approach. Anything is like a bonus, rather than charm you in with a 4x, 8x kind of returns. Just now when Sean mentioned, next slide. Just now when Sean mentioned, I want this portion over here, right? What we are trying to say is not about the gain. What we are trying to say that the last 6 months, there are 9,000 over condo transactions out of 350,000 condo units. So that is a liquidity of 2.6%. Right? Even though in totality, we're going to have more condo units compared to landed homes. However, in the last 6 months, freehold 999 pure landed, only 480 transactions, even though there are lesser supply than 3,000, that works out to be 0.66%. So we're talking about liquidity. So even though you have lesser supply, but there's also lesser transactions, right? And just to conclude also, over here, this slide, is that at 40,000, we already maxed out our loan ability to actually get 75% loan for $5 million. Well, of course, we can be very creative. We can, you know, like do decoupling. We can do equity term loan. Even, imagine, eventually, you have an $8 million portfolio. The numbers just don't add up in my head on how can you leverage or have enough gain to convert into an $8 million portfolio through decoupling and through getting any additional loan extension from just purely pledge unpledged. But if you tell me cash fall in your lap, of course, I can buy anything. So we're trying to say, how can we grow our portfolio in a very prudent manner?
Last 30 seconds.
Yeah, but one thing I would like to say is also because the Tham Sui Avenue is a very unique case. So I think if you were to base it on the on-block potential, right, it's definitely an extremely rare case. And just now you put up an example about the Taman Selamat's price growth, right? But I think importantly is that we need to know that actually owning a landed, right, you actually have a lot of hidden costs to actually repair, which they never include inside, which I'll dive into later on.
All right, thank you. Give Team Condo a round of applause. Okay. So we are in for the last round, and what we're going to do right now for all audiences is that we are heading into lifestyle maintenance and, of course, all other intangible factors and pros and cons, comparisons of holding a condo versus a landed, because a lot of times property is not just about numbers. Of course, numbers is one of the most important factor in terms of decision making, but intangibles also creates additional costs and additional benefits. So we want to dive in, and we'll kick start with Team Landed with 10 minutes, followed by Team Condo with 10 minutes, followed by another two rounds of rebuttal before we transit into Q&A. Let me welcome Team Landed to focus on lifestyle maintenance and intangibles. Give them a round of applause.
All right. Okay, so like Melvin said earlier on, the growth, of course, is one half of the equation. Lifestyle maintenance and these other factors are the other half of the equation that we want to address. So I think one thing that landed properties fulfill that maybe condominiums may not be able to fulfill is this thing called the anchor home strategy. So meaning that if, let's say, you are a close-knitted family, a big family as well, right now, you can have the entire family stay together, and then essentially all the other names can be used to purchase your investment property. So depending on the budget at the point in time, it could be condos, it could be cluster homes even, it could be more landed properties as well. I think that's one strategy that condos cannot adopt because of basically the size and flexibility for you to alter the layout according to your family requirements. Usually condominiums will not be the one that is able to be anchored right in the middle over here. So I'll pass my time to George.
So this was something that we mentioned earlier on, that you can have the flexibility to do up your house as your lifestyle progresses, as your family progresses. All these are, of course, easy fixes that you can do right at the comfort of your doorstep. Something that condo don't need to do because they have all the facilities right within the development. You can have the pool. You can have economy of scales because when you buy for a big family, you can just buy all the groceries. Whereas when you buy for a family of two or three or four, it might be more expensive. Just now they talk about views. I just want to show you. I probably know that they will talk about views on. So this is a landed home that have this very beautiful unblocked view. This buyer, right, that buy, they just exercised yesterday. They just exercised. They didn't want to come because they wanted to keep their budget in check. But truth be told, a lot of landed homeowners, they have the budget, they have the ability to stretch a little bit. They stretch by, I would say, a couple of hundreds of thousands. When they come up here, they saw this view, which is rare, and they straight away step up this property. Of course, this is also very, very well built and a host of other positive and upside. So To answer the question, I personally see a landed home with such a view. I also personally see landed home with sea view. Yeah, if you want to know where, let me know. At the same time, this is just in. Tariff increased by about 3.7%. Just in, okay? So cost of living is probably going to increase. And how do you curb that for condo? You can't. But for landed, you can. You can install solar. With the solar panels, what you can do is you can offset. And most importantly, as we are evolving to EV, we can also have the flexibility of installing the EV charging. Because when you're at condo, not all the condos have EV charging right now. Some condos maybe have two, some condos maybe have three. If you are staying in the condo development that have, say, 500 units, maybe out of the 500 units, half of them, 250, drives a car. Maybe out of 250, let's say 10% drives EV. Then you might have to queue for a charging spot. That will be the case for condo. At the same time, when you're going up and down, you need to wait for the lift. Lift breakdown, every day will be legs day for you to climb up to your unit. So that's going to be very tiring. Not forgetting that every month you're putting in your sinking fund as well as your management fees. If the funds are well managed, we have also seen cases where the funds are not well managed and then they have to sue the MCST to the court. And if they are well managed, or if let's say they do not have sufficient funds, and they need to suddenly call for an increase, those will be also costing that might be put into the condo, which I believe they will use that to come and counter us, lah. Right? So, but always remember, whenever you are putting the money back into your landed home in terms of repair, that, although at the start it might seem as pure expenses, but if you maintain a house very well, those money that you put it into the property will also help to appreciate in terms of the value when you want to sell the property. Take, for example, this property that we just sold. This is a 20-year-old house, but the owner maintained it very well, and we recently just sold it at a very good price. Sellers are very happy, but buyers are equally happy knowing that they buy into a house that has been well-kept and well-maintained over the past few years. And that is something that, even though you're spending the money, but it also contributes to the overall value of the property. And when you are hosting events, you don't even need to imagine the kind of space, because where you are seated right now is exactly the landed dimension that we are talking about. Wall to wall is about 6 meters. This is probably the size of an inter terrace, minimum size. From the blinds all the way to the end, that's about 25 meters. So you can just imagine, right now over here, we have 20 over people. Behind, we have about 30 over people. 50 people sitting down here, extremely comfortable. If you want to have double volume ceiling, 6 over meters, you can have double volume ceiling. You can have the mezzanine floor right over there. Behind, where our crew over there will be potentially a lift shaft, right behind will be the bathroom, all the way to the back will then be your kitchen. You don't even need to imagine the space. Later on, as you finish, you can just walk to the back, you can just know the kind of space that you have in an inter-terrace that you can potentially have, compared to a condo that maybe you might feel a little bit squeezy. And I think with that, Gavin will probably end the segment.
Okay, thanks, George. Yeah, so like George said, 1,600 square feet, so 25 meter by 6 meter, that's about 1,600 square feet in terms of your plot. If you build that upwards, 3.5 stories, that is already 4,000 plus square feet in terms of your build-up space. So now we need to ask ourselves in future, if let's say we do require that space for our families, maybe multi-generation families staying together, how much would that cost the equivalent in the condo segment, usually at that kind of size? That is going to be at the 10 mil region and above already. So we also talked a lot about, you know, population, interest rate, affordability, past performance, a lot of charts, a lot of graphs and things like that, right? So these gradually alter market conditions. But what factors can cause an immediate impact to the real estate segment? And the answer is technology. Technology has made huge changes in the way that we communicate. So through our phones, of course, technology, the way that we have our transport as well, our MRT lines, of course, like George said earlier on, EV cars, EV vehicles, all of this is transport. But inside the real estate segment, 3D printing construction. Of course, this is not a reality in Singapore yet, 2021, this was the first time that houses were printed using a 3D machine in rural China. Fast forward to today, these are just some snapshots of companies that are already engaging in 3D printing of houses, and they range from US, Australia, France, and even the Netherlands. So then we need to ask ourselves, with this, if let's say this in the future could be implemented into the Singapore market, what will happen to the landed property segment? What if one day you're staying in a one or two-story house, at a snap of a finger, within 2 days, you can have an attic level additionally built on? You can save 50 to 60% in terms of your construction cost overall. And let's take a comparison to interest rates, for example. So interest rate, during a high interest rate environment, that lowers the budget of buyers. Similarly, in a low interest rate environment, it increases the budget of buyers because it opens space for down payment. What happens then in construction of landed properties is that, let's say construction costs is reduced, then of course it increases the budget to buy land. If let's say your construction costs drop down, usually you won't say, let's say you buy at $5 million, construction costs usually maybe about $1 to $2 million. If let's say that comes down to, let's say $500,000 in terms of your construction costs to print a property on top of it, what happens then is, would you say that now my budget drops down to $3.5 million, or will I convert that difference of $1.5 million to buy a larger plot of land? And I think that concludes our statement for lifestyle maintenance and other factors. Thank you.
So we'll move straight on to Team Condo. Take note that you have 10 minutes on this portion. All right, let's give a round of applause to Team Condo on round two.
So of course, like lifestyle-wise landed, you're going to enjoy the most space. Later, Sean, my partner, is going to cover on how we're going to have a strategy to help you to counter that. Thank you. But the key thing is, a lot of times, right, we don't just want to measure our life just purely based on money. Right? Sometimes, we forget that money is just a means and not an end. Why do we want money? Because what we want actually is more like freedom and choices. And having enough money allow us to buy enough time and choices to give us the best kind of lifestyle. So over here you can see this quote, time is more valuable than money because you can get more money, but you cannot get more time. Imagine if every day I give you $86,400 and I tell you that by the end of the day, you're going to spend it all. If not, at the end of the day, anything that you do not spend will be wasted. That is the amount of seconds that you have every day. Every day you have 86,400 seconds. Everybody is the same. But today, if I decide to waste it away, you will not get a refund. But money, you can store it. Anytime you can make money. I've never heard somebody that have regrets in their dying bed, and then they say that, I wish I can make an additional $1 million, or like $2 million, etc. But they probably will regret the times that they have sacrificed making money, but missing key moments in their family's life. And so is accumulating more money what we really want? The answer is actually time is more important than money. What we want is freedom. More expenses equivalent is to more stress. Right? So of course, $5 million, 44%. And then just now, let's say for example, we want to expand the portfolio even further. You leverage even more. Every day, 吃面包, eat bread. Is that the kind of lifestyle that we want? Right? So let's talk about how you can improve your cash flow position by 18% using this formula. So for example, if today you have a landed property, $5 million, right? So just now we mentioned that installment at 25 years, 3%, that will work out to be $17,783, which is 44% of your 40K household income. However, if I were to split this into two condos, you realize that, number one, the installment is $8,891 each, basically divide half. However, while the condos, maybe I collect a 3.5% rental, that will work out to be about $7,200. So if I add up, I need to finance $8,800 installment in condo 1, I finance $8,800 in condo 2, and then I collect $7,200. So my net cash flow makes it that while owning two properties, same portfolio value is only 26% of my income. So what does it mean for you? Does it mean that you're going to have more disposable income to do things that you actually love? If today I'm just going to accumulate, of course, I think having the virtues to save is very good. But we also do not know when our time will end, right? So I want to have a balance between accumulating, thinking about the future, but I also want to enjoy a little bit now. So that could mean holidays, enrichment for your kids, right? New car, and maybe importantly, maybe it can help you to accelerate more in terms of investment needs. And but what if you need more space? This portion, Sean will cover.
Thank you. So I also thank George and as well as Gavin to actually show you guys the benefit of having a landed home. He mentioned that, you know, you have more space, you can stay in. And in fact, if you have multi-generation, I think landed home is also something that is suitable, right? So let's have a look at some of the lifestyle maintenance that you need to have. So these are some of the landed homes over here that is at $5 million ranges that you can rent currently in the market. So of course, you can get an original condition semi-D home that you can rent at about $6,800, or as well as a move-in condition inter-terrace home that you can rent about probably about $8,500 per month. Now for $5 million, if you were to buy, right, your first month's interest, right, is already at $9,000. So this means that even if you rent today, right, you cannot cover interest, man. Yeah. So this is something that very important that you need to take note, especially for landed engine. And the thing is that if you're going to really rent it out at 9,000 and you can't even cover, right, doesn't that cause a certain level of anxiety to you? Okay? Because the interest doesn't even cover. And at the same time, what you can do instead of buying a landed, right, is that I'm going to show you this strategy here. You can have a pen? No, it's over there. Okay. So I'm going to show you this strategy over here that you can deploy, right, by actually owning two condos, rent them out, and then let's say you want a bigger space, you can actually choose to rent a landed instead. So these are real life listings that you can see here. City Square Residences, 3-bedder, 2.39. This listing you can rent for about $6,700. This is the last done. And the Cavendish Gardens over here, the 4-bedder, you can rent at about $6,500. Okay? So that means in total, you have about close to $13,000 in terms of rental yield that you can collect for both of these property over here. Then as mentioned, you can then take this equity and then rent out the landed sites as well. But I'm going to explain also in terms of why, right, having these two condo approach also brings a certain level of safeguard to you. Because if today, they did explain just now, if let's say they can decouple, they can leverage more, they can buy bigger, right? But this is an approach that maybe not all of us can get. Because what happens if I'm 40 years old and I'm with my partner over here, and let's say, for example, she falls sick, she gets retrenched, right? Then most likely I cannot go with that plan where I can then increase my asset. So instead, by owning two, you actually safeguard yourself. Because if let's say you both own at 2.5, this one I rent out, this one I use for own stay. Okay? So even if let's say one day I rent this property out, it doesn't appreciate to 2.5, right? Maybe halfway through my partner accidentally fell sick or got retrenched, I can then actually choose to sell off this entire asset over here, take back my down payment of $500,000, and also earn some rental income, maybe, I don't know, $100,000, and I can still cash out over here. So this, then I can, you know, still stay at this home that I've been staying with my family all along without stressing. Because if today I own a $5 million home, right, my mortgage is $17,000, and one of my partner retrenched, I cannot support the loan. I then have to go through the very stressful process of selling one of my assets and then choosing to downgrade. So with this class, right, actually owning two, it provides you that safe level of a safety that, if let's say that happens in the future. Okay? Okay. So this is also the rent investing cash flow, which is to say that at the end of the day, when you choose our method and go ahead and rent a landed, right, even with your interest and calculation and things like that, you can still have a cash savings of about $4,000. And this is also the lifestyle maintenance that you need to take note of, especially when you are owning a landed home. And this quotation I didn't get from Plug from the Sky. I got it from a builder. So this is just a pure maintenance of the home. If let's say the home maintains well all throughout the years. So you can see that you need pest control. You need to maintain your pool, your leaf, your roof, your property tax also. So all these things, right, you have to take note when you're owning a landed home. And the monthly expenses would range around $600 or close to $700 per month. And if let's say, for example, if one day the roof gets water ingress, it leaks, I need to go and replace the roofing, then easily I'm set back by $10,000. But take note that for condo sites, right, if let's say there's any leakages or things like that, the MCSD will actually help you with that because every month you're paying a maintenance fee. You won't have hidden charges or surprise costs when you're staying in the condo. I don't want to come back home one day and find my roof leaking and having the trouble to actually move out and then having the roof repair. So I think this caused a lot of stress for people that are staying inside as well. And just to recap is that, of course, with better cash flow, it buys you more time. The dual engine guarantees a safety net for your family in rainy days. And also when you stay in a landed home, you get to own a landed home in a smarter way. Because when I rent out the landed home, I get a 13K rental. I can then actually rent out another landed home that will probably cost about 7 to 8K instead. So that still gives me that percentage yield of extra cash. So of course, when you rent out the landed home and I'm staying in a landed place, there's also something called the minimum repair clause, which means that every time when there's a repair works that exceeds a certain amount, you can actually share the cost with your landlord as well. And of course, if I maintain the place well and I do my aircon repairs and I also maintain the roof well, it will then allow me to actually have the landlord bear most of the cost of the repairs instead. Yeah, so this actually helps you and unburdens you in terms of hidden costs as well. Okay, with that, I end my sharing.
Thank you. All right, we'll move straight into rebuttal. And each team will have 5 minutes each. And of course, later we'll move on to our last two very exciting segments, which is the vote and also to answer your Q&A. Meantime, if you're at home watching this through our webinar, please key in your questions into the chat box. This is the best time because we'll be moving straight on to the Q&A segment very soon. So we will have rebuttal from Team Condo first, 5 minutes. And then Team Landed will end off with their final rebuttal. Let's welcome Team Condo. Ready? 5 minutes?
Maybe give us a bit more time. Let us think about it first.
Okay. So let me talk about some of the subdivision strategies that was being mentioned by Team Landed just now, right? So $5 million, what is the biggest potential land size that you can take? Of course, when you want to split a bigger plot into two smaller plots, right, we now have to adhere to very strict subdivision rulings. Inter-terrace, minimum land plot size 1615 square feet. So the key thing is, at $5 million, are we able to even get a bit enough land to eventually consider doing subdivision down the road, whether is it 5, 10, 20 years down the road? Second thing, we'll also be talking about value creation. Of course, I love value creation. If you watch my podcast, I always mention that if you are staying in a HDB, you are staying in a condo, don't spend too much on renovation because it doesn't directly translate in terms of valuation price increase. Okay. However, if you're in a landed home, you choose to increase your square footage by building outwards, and of course, if you add on like solar panel, you add on like EV charging, these are all going to be very attractive for the next buyer. And of course, this can potentially add on to your eventual selling price. But the key thing is, today, my wife and I, last time we liked to play Sims. You know Sims, right? And Sims, we always find that it's very hard to play. And so we always use cheat code one. The cheat code is you get unlimited money. And so I can build whatever that I want. So I think in the reality kind of thing, I think it depends on, you know, like if today you start off with $5 million, if you have a lot of spare cash, and I think that, then I think landed properties are probably a good choice because down the road you can rebuild, you can do value creation, etc., etc. But if let's say, for example, you tell me this $5 million is like an all-in kind of approach, then maybe I think condo overall can give you that acceleration, but also allow you to have that safety net while you're holding on to the properties, giving you more time and freedom. Eventually, is if you're going to own an asset, a big house, means I'm going to work very hard for promotion, you know, like to actually make more money. And eventually, who is going to use the house? It's probably like my pets, right? Because all the family all out working very hard, hustle. Right, so I end my segment over here.
You still have 2 minutes plus for rebuttal.
Time, right? So there are a few things. So for example, now we are trying to adopt EV vehicles. And so, of course, why is the adoption rate for EV vehicles not super high? Because we all know that it saves the earth, correct? The key thing is, now EV vehicles are still generally higher in price than your petrol vehicles. So unless, you know, that is what we call, right, your personal incentive, right, it's not aligned with the group incentive. So in order to make good, I need to think of maybe I need to take the pinch first, invest more, and so that I can allow somehow credit rebates, right? So it's the same thing if I do a solar panel, I do an EV charging. You are doing value creation, right? You are saving the world. But to a certain extent, you're also not saving your pocket lah, in that sense. So I think we need to have a good fine balance between these two things, because end of the day, when cash flow ends, right? So like a lot of things we need to sacrifice. Thank you.
I think just to add on another point is that I think when we calculate for the landed sites, right, there's also a lot of hidden costs that I think the landed team never really uncovered itself, because not only you have higher interest, right, you also have the maintenance. So actually when I pull back some of the numbers and actually did a calculation in a 3-year span, right, if let's say we count your interest, the maintenance that I showed you earlier on, right, and we just stay in this property, right, for the next 3 years, right, actually the expenses can be quite high. The expenses actually worked out to be about $500,000. So this means that in the next 3 years, right, for this $5 million property, right, I will have to sell at 5.5. And just now when the condo, the examples that we have showed you just now, right, it's a very safe approach. So if let's say if the condo size, it were to take just maybe let's say a 10% growth, right, in the next like 3 years, then we can definitely see that once I worked out the sums, it actually is about 300K profit. So for landed sites to actually hit a 300K profit, right, from this 5 mil, right, I would then have to sell at a $5.8 million. Of course, they can say that it's possible, because from 5 to 5.8 is about a 60% growth. But actually, if we dig back the numbers, right, and we look at a 20-year span for the landed growth sites, right, it's very rare that we can see it hitting double-digit figures in terms of growth in the last 3 years, lah. Unless, if let's say we buy this landed home today, we can guarantee that the COVID 2.0 will happen again. So I think if let's say we were to enter into something that is more safe, then I think the condo is definitely something that we can consider.
All right, thank you. Let's give Team Condo a round of applause. Okay, so this is the final round of rebuttal. Team Landed, you have 5 minutes. Please start now.
Very interesting rebuttal from the condos team. Because somehow, right, this topic we are talking about lifestyle maintenance and factors like that. I don't know how suddenly it came back to cash flow. How did it suddenly revert back to numbers? I sense maybe a little bit of avoidance in terms of what is happening through their heads when you are determining which is the better lifestyle. Obviously, costs for owning a landed property, maintenance and things like that, will definitely be higher. Everybody knows that. It will definitely be higher. But I think some of the numbers have been exaggerated a little bit, because we got to ask ourselves, condos will also have a sudden cost in terms of maintenance, correct or not? So let's say the roof leaks and things like that. Yes, MCST will take care of that. Where does the funds come from? The sinking funds. Where did the sinking funds come from? Originally, it still came back from the owners also. Right? Just that it's a bit more spread out across more owners. Right? And even a case for myself also. So my own condo. Last year, they doubled the MCST fees for 1.5 years because they wanted to redo the tennis court flooring. So these are sudden costs that could also happen. I think if let's say you're staying in a condo, you might have experienced something along those lines as well before. Maybe the last point that I want to touch on is quite a bit of opposing messages that is coming out from their end as well. One end, Yurong was talking about having a stress-free lifestyle. Staying in a condo is stress-free. And then on another end, right, Sean was talking about renting for your own stay. Now we ask ourselves, if you rent a property for your own stay or you stay in your own property, which one is more stress-free? Let's say you are staying with a family of, let's say, 10 or 12. Your parents, children, siblings are also staying together with you. You're at the mercy of the landlord. If, let's say, the landlord decides to increase the rent by double in the end of the tenancy, what will happen then for you and your family? Split into the two condos that you are renting out at the moment. So that's something to ask yourself. I'll hand it over to Josh.
Yeah. So just now they also mentioned a very good point, which is on the cash flow. And I do agree, definitely there will be expenses that comes along with your landed property. I think we are only looking at purely based on the cash flow basis, where for landed you're using at about 44% of your income. That is provided you can rent out your condo development. We take the recent 1 to 2 years. Of course, these 2 years is, I would say, an outlier, because there's a severe delay in terms of the construction, which also means that a lot of people have to rent. But not forgetting that pre-COVID, we have clients at with units in the core central area. They are not able to put it out for rent. They can't find a tenant, and eventually they have to reduce price drastically in order to make sure at least there's some form of cash flow coming in. This year, at the end of this year or towards Q1 of next year, there'll be a bumper crop in terms of the available units that might TOP. If you look at some of the condo developments, Normanton Park is a mega development. You have Florence Residences, you have Riverfront Residences, you have Treasure at Tampines. All these will definitely bump up in terms of the supply. And I'm not sure whether will the rental continue to be crazy. In my opinion, I don't think so. And we also have to make sure that there are times where you might not find a strong tenant. There can be tenant from hell. And whatever income that you receive, you might have to pump it back in terms of the repair, in terms of you know, trying to claim and stuff like that. And that could be downtime. Not forgetting that when you are putting out for rental, while it is great for cash flow, but what happens when you want to sell with tenancy? When you want to sell with tenancy, that is where the challenge comes in. And that's where we come in also. I'll sell a bit of our service. So, but anyway, when you want to sell with tenancy, that will be challenging because the tenant might not allow for viewing. And when you want to kind of change your portfolio, let's say you buy something at 2.5 million, you want to sell and you want to buy something that is bigger, right? And you want to change your portfolio, you might lose out opportunity cost. And these are very real cases because we had clients that saw something that they like. Tenants don't allow for viewing. Then there's a lot of dispute. And then after that, the unit that they wanted is gone and they lose the motivation to sell. And the next cycle will come in again. And you'll be thinking, should I want to continue to rent, collect rental, but have difficulty when I want to sell, or do I want to adopt? And I think that will be a stressful situation, as opposed to what they say as a stress-free situation. Thank you.
Thank you. Very exciting. I hope that everybody has enjoyed. So while we transit to the last segment, I want to invite everybody to scan the QR code, key in your question in the chat box. If you're at home, if you're here live with us, you can look at the screen and take out your phones and scan the code in order to key in your questions. So we'll give everybody about 1 to 2 minutes to key in your questions, and then we'll transit to Q&A where we pluck out some very interesting questions to direct at Team Condo or Team Landed. So meantime, let's give our audiences about 1 to 2 minutes. Let's have some music in the meantime as well. While Team Condo and Team Landed, please stand by. Also, while we're waiting for questions, later on, of course, we have our lovely IST consulting team at the back. So if those of you who are here, thank you for joining us on the Mid-Autumn Festival actual day. You can also meet some of our IST consultants to ask any questions that you want to have on the property market. And of course, we do our one-to-one consultations by appointment at our office and, of course, at our HQ office as well. So feel free to get in touch with them, exchange your contact as well.
Hello. Yeah, my name is Mark. So Hi, Mark. I have a question actually for the condo team. So I understand lender team has also touched briefly on the exit strategy. How maybe if you get a lender, you can also decouple and then get another place at the like few years later. My question to condo strategy is having two properties, one for investment, one for own stay. What's actually the exit strategy like maybe 5 years, 10 years, or maybe 3 years later? Because as you grow older, the amount of years of loan you can take is actually getting shorter also. So in what sense would you think would be a very feasible time for this couple in this example to maybe, let's say, downgrade to HDB or let's say move on to another property? And also in the case, would en bloc, would properties with high en bloc potential like Mandarin Gardens would be a consideration for the couple also? Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Great question, Marcus. All right, Team Condo, take it away.
Okay, thank you, Mark, for the question. So a couple of things. I think number one, end of the day, even though we present our own points, like we say at the start of the debate, right? We both love landed and condo, right? So the key thing is, I think the question is suitability, right? Suitability in terms of your own investment strategy, suitability in terms of the time horizon, and example 40 years old. 40 years old, if you are saying a more conservative approach, right? Actually, when you're age 45, probably age 30, age 45 is what we call like growth investing. You can focus on expanding your portfolio. So whether is it you own a landed property, $5 million, you decouple, you're expanding your portfolio. Today, Sean owned 2.5, I own 2.5. We can also sell and increase the property value by going to like a bigger property type or like a better location. So that's expansion. Eventually, to a certain extent, you will reach what we call like the consolidation phase of your investing journey, and where the focus will be, number one, we are trying to complete what we call like paying down our loan, so that eventually by the time that we're going to retire or before we're going to retire, our entire portfolio will be fully paid. Okay? And of course, if you have children that you love and you want to do legacy planning, so that might be the time that you want to convert to like a freehold strategy. In the growth phase, we don't care about 9 years of freehold. Eventually, some of them, a lot of landed owners, when they reach retirement phase, right, we have met a lot of clients that say like, initially they stay in a three-story building. So as their children moved out and their age gets older, they don't want to climb stairs and also they move to second story. Then second story, then they start to think, maybe I want to shift now to the first story. They know that it is time for them to right-size this portfolio because it is too big, too many stairs to climb. So they might convert into a two-property portfolio strategy. By the time, if assuming this is fully paid, whether is it, you know, you go to a condo strategy, landed, you'll come back to two condos, let's say fully paid. One can be for own stay. One now is like your income, like your allowance on top of your whatever CPF life or whatever bond equity strategy you might have. The other method is you could downsize the entire portfolio to just have one own stay property and you leave the rest of the funds, you can break it into like a five-year basket. Basically in cash, bonds, equivalent. So in the longer time horizon kind of basket where, you know, like you can hold in the market for 15, 20 years, then you can still have some equity exposure. So this is a bit out of the scope, but generally, big picture wise, at different time you do different actions and you can talk to our consultation team. Yeah, thank you.
Great. Sean, got anything to add for the question?
I think it's also important that, you know, when we look at condos for investing, because just now we didn't mention to cover the slides, but for condo size, it definitely allows us to actually have a wider pool of audience because the income range is actually more comfortable. Because once we hit to the $5 million range, right, definitely we're only targeting for the top 2 percentile size. So I think if you're looking for like ease of exit in the future, I think condos will be more like palatable as well. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks for the question, by the way. So we have one question. I have a minimum income of about $1 million per annum. I currently stay in a condo and have 2 other properties being rented out. I have no loans and am extremely risk-averse. I have been smitten by this $12 million property in Dina. I'm thinking if I should sell off my properties and play the waiting game. All right, so this will be directed to the lender team. Come, any thoughts on this?
Okay, so I think maybe we break it down in a few segments. Income of $1 million, I think that is extremely strong. So maybe I just write down a bit. When they say this current owner is okay, so maybe I read out the question. Just now you read out already, right? $1 million income per annum also means that your monthly is at about 83,000. So that's very strong. So stay in a condo and have 2 other properties rented out. So this guy probably had purchased in the early days or maybe paid ABSD and then owned a total of 3 properties. No other outstanding loan, very risk adverse. Smitten by a 12 million property, not sure whether is it now or last time. This 12 million property in D9, my guess is it could be maybe like a big size condo.
Okay, so let me summarize. Basically, yeah. I think what the audience is asking is that he or she has the ability to go for a $12 million property now in D9. So they fell in love with a property. They don't know whether should they sell off all their 3 properties now that has already been fully paid and go into this $12 million property in District 9, or should they just wait?
I feel that once you have this 12 million budget, right, I wouldn't personally go for a property in D9. In fact, with 12 million budget, what can I buy? 12 million budget, I can probably buy something that is along D10 area. If I want to spot for a landed property that is potentially good performing, I'll firstly take a look at which are the districts that have the highest transaction. D19 is of course the district that gives the highest transaction in terms of the volume. The next one will be D15, the next area will then be D10. D10 clients, or basically buyers that are buying into D10, they are quite particular in terms of which area of D10 that they can buy into. And I think D10 is, of course, not in D9, but quite close towards the D9 area. $12 million, they can potentially buy into a very beautifully landed property that is semi-D, or they can go into something what we call a Cat 2 to Cat 3 kind of category, where it is probably about 10 odd years old, two-story, you don't have any lift. You can buy a semi-D that is quite close towards the main road area, but still about 6-7 minutes walk away. You can find something that is at about 9-odd range. So 9-odd range, you can buy into a semi-D. You can keep this cash of about $3 million. You can probably say you pump it back into another property, or you can just go and, you know, put it into funds and then just let it grow. $12 million property, I think the quantum might be too high. If let's say this is a condo, I'm not sure whether is that a condo or a landed property. But if let's
say it
should
be a landed, I think it should. Yeah. A landed.
If let's say that $12 million property is a landed property in D9, I will personally just maybe put my funds towards the D10 area, because D10, in fact, if the location is spot on, there's a shortage of supply in the D10 area, and I can keep some equity out. To go and pump it back in to do an A&A to increase the overall value, and then kind of have a disparity effect to be clearer, and that will be how I play the game.
So, Josh, in summary, your recommendation is that you will sell off all three condos to go into the landed. Okay. Gavin, anything to add to this question?
Yeah, maybe I just add on some things to what George mentioned. So we assume that that 12 mil property is a landed property in D9. Okay, obviously with an income of $1 million, you're like the top tier, probably in the world, you want the top tier. Right? And usually when you buy into a $12 million property in core central region, if it's a landed property, I think that it is definitely would be a safe choice. Obviously, we still need to see the specifics of the home, but if everything checks the boxes, I think a 12 mil landed property is in District 9. It's right where the numbers are looking at in terms of affordability for landed property buyers who are looking at that core central region. Of course, another approach that you can go for, what I feel would be a more traditional, safer approach, is maybe split that $12 million if you have an extra name to buy under, maybe your wife or your husband, and then maybe $6 million each, maybe go for an RCR, OCR region, property $6 million each. That could be something that you can explore as well.
Okay, great. Thank you. So maybe I want to direct that same exact question to the condo team also, because I think that'll be a very interesting question. Okay, from the way that the question is being phrased, I think the decision, okay, what probably the back psychology based on just looking at how this question is being typed out, probably the thought process is that I already have three condos that are fully paid. I stay in one, I rent out the other two, I'm collecting rental income from the other two properties to fund my lifestyle. I have no more installment. Should I kill all three golden goose and then go into a $12 million landed? So I think that is a dilemma. Should I, because the last part is that, should I sell off all my properties to put everything into a $12 million property? And perhaps to afford this $12 million property, I might have to take a bit of loan, right? So this is actually the question. Come.
I think this is a great question over here. And I think if let's say you're someone that currently owns like two properties that's already rented out, and you're someone that's extremely like risk adverse, right? Then definitely, I think currently your profile kind of already suits it already. Because if, let's say, for example, I were to sell this off, right, and then I turn, for example, my two bullets into one, right, then definitely there will be some risk over there. Because just now the demonstration that we proceeded on to say that if let's say, for example, I were to buy this landed property, right, what happens if I get it wrong? What happens if, let's say, I buy, that they know that actually there is a road line reserve that is over there. There is this water drainage tank. There's a drainage reserve in this home that I may not know because I'm first time buying a landed home. So if I made this mistake, right, this is definitely going to bite me when I come to sell my home in the future. So I think if, let's say, you're really risk averse, then definitely split. Don't put all your eggs into one basket. Just like if someone doesn't know how to invest in specific stocks, then just buy the S&P 500. You're very safe. 7% yield. I think you don't even need to move your muscle brains. Just let the stocks or the equity, the ETF actually work for you. Yeah.
So I think in terms of this, let's break down the profile of this person. So this person, we call that they are in the wealth preservation stage. So they don't care about accumulation anymore. And so, of course, we don't know what is their age and all that, but let's give some context. $1 million income, assuming no loans. Let's say, you know, like this person can still, like he's 45 years old, he can get another 20 years loan tenure. His loan ability is about $7 million. So let's assume that $12 million he can get into a property that he likes without minimal loan, right? So I think the question is, number one, in the core central region, the last 6 months, the median semi-detached pricing is $9.1 million. Detached houses is about $18.2 million. So the question I want to know is actually this $12 million house, if I want to preserve my wealth, right, I want to make sure that the property I buy in is going to have good liquidity for people who want to buy this kind of property range. So for example, let's say $12 million, I better make sure that this is new, pretty new, got leaf. Let's say I'm buying into a semi-D, I must make sure that the land size is huge enough, not just the basic semi-D land size. I want to make sure that the land size is of regular shape. I don't have all the road line plan issues or like, okay, many road line plan issues that like Sean mentioned, freehold, etc. And I want to anchor it to as many key good schools within 1 kilometer as possible, because District 10 is basically an education zone for the rich. That's the reason why people go over there. So I want to make sure that I am buying the cream of the crop, and that will allow me to achieve my objective long term to have wealth preservation, because I am risk adverse, but at the same time, because I work so hard already, I get to enjoy life a little bit to restructure this portfolio a bit. Of course, $12 million, maybe I could potentially take some loan. I can split into some rental play kind of properties. Of course, if assuming I'm a single, I got no spouse, I can potentially consider commercial industrial properties with good attributes and yield play to sort of like generate additional income. So there, when you have resources, there are multiple ways that you can play out. So I think this is like a good overview, but it really depends on like the specifics on what's the best route forward.
Thank you. Thanks guys for being objective. Because this question is interesting in a way that it is very much like how we do our consults one-to-one. It's really based on age, objective, and of course, a bit of understanding your needs. I mean, based on coming back to like the psychology of how this is being crafted, I've been smitten by this $12 million property. It also gives me a sense that maybe this audience is currently feeling that, hey, you know, I've worked so hard all my life. I've achieved the current status of, you know, having like $80,000+ of income per annum, running my own business or being in the top management of a company and stuff like that. Maybe it's time I want to enjoy a little bit, but I'm staying in a condo. Probably I'm running out of space, but you know, I need the space to really host people I want to enjoy. And then I hold the other two properties, but other people are enjoying my properties. It's like I'm working so hard, but I'm staying in a smaller place with all my assets being parked in two other properties that is being enjoyed by others. So should I accumulate my funds, take a little bit of loan, and start to enjoy while I'm in my last final phase of like working towards the next 10, 20 years towards retirement? So I think there's a lot of psychology between understanding the needs. And once again, if you want to understand based on your own situation or crafting out your own consultation, through your own portfolio through our consultation, you can, of course, get in touch with our IST team at the back. We want to answer one last question. There's one very popular question with a lot of likes. Do you treat condos and resale ECs in the same or similar way? Maybe, Sean, do you want to answer this quickly?
Sure. I think this is a very interesting question as well. I think, do I treat condos or resale EC in the same or similar ways? I think I would say that EC sites, they are still kind of like condominiums. And I think prices for EC is definitely going to be slightly tapered as compared to the pure condominium status. So I think, for example, if you are staying in like Punggol, for example, right, there's going to be a lot of competitions in terms of EC and condominiums as well. Sometimes people like the pure condominium status, they only would buy into a pure condominium. Some people want that affordability range, then maybe they'll look at like ECs to enter in as well. So the ECs and pure condos, there's always that price gap around. It's just, I think, what you want in terms of that development and in terms of the status as well. Yeah.
There was one very interesting question. Let's take that as a final question while we also cast our votes right now. If you're at home, feel free to cast your vote. If you are live here with us, this is a final chance to cast it. There was one question, maybe we can screen the next screen. About a $2 million budget one, Erdi. Okay, great, thank you. So I'm 50 years old, my wife is 47. We both stay in a property value at $2 million fully paid. We now have $3 million in cash and CPF. Our monthly income is $35,000. Should we buy a landed or two condos? You seem very much like the profile today on our live debate. Okay. So, we'll let the team lender have the final say. Just a quick one, George or Gavin, and then we'll move on to show our poll result. Okay, because this is a bit different. Our profile is 40 years old, but this couple is 50 and 47. And we always advocate that, you know, while you're working towards 55, after 55, sometimes it might be in the defensive stage already. So probably that is like the psychology behind this question.
At this income, they can still borrow a bit. Of course, it wouldn't be a lot. But the good thing is they have the cash. In my opinion, I think that what they can potentially do is, I don't think they are moving into the stage where they still want to have, you know, passive income and stuff like that. They probably are towards the stage that they maybe want to fulfill the aspiration of owning a landed property. Plus landed property, of course, you can use that, pump all the funds into a landed property. Since you still have the ability to borrow, buy into a landed property, you can also use that as a legacy planning. And since, you know, you're of certain age, you can, of course, cater the configuration to your lifestyle. Buy into a landed property, and then after that, you know, at certain stage of life, maybe 10 years later, you wish to consolidate again, you can still go into the phase of selling the landed, and then, you know, you can decide what to do next. That's my take.
Yeah, so if I were to interpret this question where it's coming from, should I buy a landed or two condos? Basically, is if let's say you go to the landed route, you are concerned on whether you will have a very comfortable monthly cash flow as opposed to condos. Probably one will be rented out, one you will stay inside there. So should you take that dive and or that risk and go fully for the landed route? So I think one thing, if you are concerned about the monthly repayment, is that I think with your current status, $2 million fully paid property, $3 million cash and CPF, you have about $5 million available. Let's say even if you buy a $5 million property, you can downpay maybe about half, about 55%. What happens then is that when you put in a higher down payment, essentially, usually banks will give you a higher loan tenure. So you're able to stretch out the loan tenure up to the age, if I'm not wrong, is 75. And then now you can have a longer tenure and lower monthly repayment. Yeah, so I think the suggestion would definitely be to go for the landed side.
Okay, great. Let's close off the vote. You want to answer, huh? Okay, Ken, come.
Okay, so maybe a quick balancing point is that if today I'm this profile, I want to do wealth preservation, I will take $4 million, I go and buy an Inter Terrace, I can fully pay that. With this profile, 35K income per month, no other loans, assuming I just take a 15-year loan tenure. Actually, their max loan capacity is $2.46 million. So what I probably do is that, like, I can buy a $1.5 million or like a $2 million condo property. I'll take some loan over there, probably about $500K to $1 million, depending on whether is it $1.5 or $2 million condo. And that unit, I can rent it out. So I think I get the aspiration of, number one, I own a landed. I also start to build the second income builder. And of course, thirdly, you know, I still achieve the objective of having wealth preservation in this juncture of this profile.
So your recommendation is go for one landed that is more palatable and then go for the other condo. Okay, great. One landed plus one condo. Thanks, Euro, for being objective also. So, meantime, we'll close off our vote. Give our back-end team a bit of time to tabulate the results. So if you have not voted, probably we'll give another 10, 15 seconds for our audiences. And then we will be very excited to look at the final results. Meantime, some quick announcements. And thank you for our live audience for joining us on the Friday evening. You have spent about, how long already? 3 hours. I hope that you all are not tired. Okay. So later we still have some food at the back. Please stay back. We'll spend another 30, 45 minutes. We'll be here for another hour. We'll be very happy to chat and connect with you guys. Our next two events that is coming up is on the 20th October
It is a live webinar, 8 p.m. on Zoom. Okay, and this time, because we're moving to the fourth quarter of 2023, what we're going to do is we're going to do this expansion strategies. We will bring out, actually, I was telling you wrong, we should showcase about 9 case studies, but I scared no time. So I think we will promise to showcase 6 different case studies. And these are case studies that are on a timeline basis. And these are actual case studies, of course, without the names of our clients that we've worked with over the years. Because I was just trying to tabulate all the case studies that I had accumulated over my past 16 years, and it was like close to about 21 different case studies that I've seen my clients personally expanded their portfolio from even like a HDB property all the way to like multiple properties or landed properties or a mixture of landed condos as well as commercial properties. So we just want to share with you 6 to 9 case studies on how actual people has expanded their wealth using property investment and a combination of own stay with investment. And even some of the case studies are done in recent years, even after all the 5 rounds of ABSD cooling measures has been implemented, that can still be done. So this is going to be very interesting. Please sign up for this webinar. It's 20th of October on a Friday night at 8 p.m. on Zoom only. This time around is on Zoom. Can we have the poll results on this main screen as well for our live audience? Okay, great. So, drum roll, please. Some music on the poll results. Condo versus landed. Okay, and let's flash the results on both screens. Come. Let's see. Poll results. Condo, landed, undecided. What is the final poll? Whoa, such a close fight. Okay. Let's give a round of applause to both teams. 23 versus 20, very close, just 3 only. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. Congratulations on both teams. I think they did very well. Why don't we give our presenters a round of applause each? And also give our live audiences a round of applause for spending their time with us, their precious time. And also our 500 plus audiences on Zoom webinar, give them a round of applause. Last but not least, round of applause to our back-end media team for setting this place up for the last 2 days, prepping, and of course the last 2 weeks, our CogCons marketing team, sending out all the invites, give our back-end team, as well as our IS team consultants a round of applause. Please stay with us for some of the food behind, desserts, as well as drinks, and we'll be very happy to connect with you. And meantime, we just want to thank everybody for supporting PLB for so many years, and we're just thankful with all these very interesting things that y'all are even coming down for our second live debate, even though maybe you might not know what is this about. So we just want to thank you for supporting us and the team over the years. Thank you very much. Give yourself a round of applause. All right. Good night. Take care. Drive safe back home.